There was a time when the Lord spoke to his prophet Samuel to tell him he had selected a new king for Israel. Samuel was to go to the little town of Bethlehem where the Lord would make known to him just who the new king would be. It was in Bethlehem that Samuel met Jesse and seven of Jesse's sons. One by one the sons of Jesse paraded before the old prophet, and as each one passed before his eyes, Samuel knew that he had not yet found the new king. Turning to the father, Samuel said, "The Lord has chosen none of these. Have you no more sons?" Jesse smiled. "Well, one more," he said. "But he cannot be the one you want. He's a shepherd. He's the youngest. And not like these at all. He makes up songs and poems, and he plays music on a harp. Surely you do not want him." "Bring him," said Samuel patiently. So from the hillsides they brought Jesse's youngest son, the green stain of grasses on his bare feet. He was only a boy, dreamy-eyed, but something in his carriage spoke of strength and wisdom. Samuel smiled at the boy, and the boy's cheeks dimpled with a valiant grin. His curly hair shone like copper. Then the voice spoke in Samuel's ear, saying, "Arise, anoint him. This is he." Samuel beckoned the youth still closer and asked his name. "My name," the boy replied, "is David." Without another word, Samuel poured the oil of anointment on the head of the shepherd boy. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David, and David became a king. It would be some time before he would take the throne and be recognized as the leader of his people. Saul was the king now, and David still a boy shepherd, the seed of greatness still sleeping in his heart. But it was while he was still a young lad that David distinguished himself in a feat so mighty that we have an understanding of why David became one of the greatest rulers of all the world's history. David's people, the Israelites, were at war with their ancient enemies, the Philistines. King Saul's armies were gathered on one hillside, and across the valley were the camps of the Philistines. Now, there was a giant in the land. In the camp of the Philistines, there was a man 10 feet tall, a huge champion named Goliath. Goliath wore brass armor and a coat of mail which weighed more than 200 pounds, and the staff of his spear was as thick as a weaver's beam. A strong man would stagger just lifting Goliath's spear. His shield was the largest ever seen, and his sword was a fearsome blade. And Goliath strode at the head of the great Philistine army, his giant feet shaking the ground, and the Israelites were very much afraid. Goliath would roar in his deep voice, "Choose a man to meet me, and if he kills me, we will be your servants. But if I kill him, then Israel shall serve the Philistines forever." Day after day, in the first light of dawning, Goliath shouted his challenge. And when Goliath strode forward, the men of Israel turned and ran. On the 40th day of the battle, young David came to camp, carrying some cheese and bread for his elder brothers, who were soldiers. He was going through camp looking for his brothers when suddenly he heard the challenge of Goliath echo like thunder across the valley. David listened, his eyes narrowing, his strong young chin hardening. Soon he stood before King Saul himself, and his once dreamy face shone with a dauntless light. He said, "Let no one be afraid. I will go and fight with this Philistine." Saul's eyes flashed with admiration for such courage, but he shook his head, and he said, "Well, you're too young. He's been trained as a warrior since he was your age." David grinned. "I kept my father's sheep, you know. And often lions and bears took a ram from the flock, and I would chase them, and I would snatch the ram from their mouths, and they would turn on me, and I strangled and killed them. And I shall kill this Philistine as I did those beasts. Who is he that he dares curse the army of the living God? The Lord who delivered me from the lion's paw and the bear will deliver me from the hand of Goliath." Then King Saul offered David his very own armor, putting the royal helmet on his head himself and handing him the royal sword. But the armor was too heavy for David, and he refused to wear it. Instead, David took his plain shepherd's staff, which he always carried. he went to a little brook nearby and chose 5 perfectly smooth stones. And finally he took his sling, a homemade weapon he had often used to pitch stones at wolves and foxes. That was all. Then he went to meet the giant. Goliath approached, his armor ringing and gleaming, and he blinked his eyes in amazement as he saw his opponent, a young boy with a stick and sling. And he roared, "Am I a dog that you come after me with a staff? I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." David called back, "You come at me with your sword and spear and shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day will the Lord deliver you to me. I shall kill you and cut off your head, that everyone may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, but by his might." Goliath's answer to this was a monstrous roar as he lumbered forward. David did not even step back. He seized one of the 5 brookstones from his shoulder bag. He fitted it into the sling. He took aim. He whirled it around his head, and he let go. And straight as an arrow, the stone struck. Like a giant tree falling, Goliath pitched forward. And David ran forward and seized the giant's sword and hacked off Goliath's head. Well, when they saw their champion dead, the Philistines fled in terror before the cheering armies of Israel. And the battle was soon over. Great was David's reward, and great was the praise showered upon him. But in his heart, David thanked the Lord, the king who had chosen him and blessed him, and who alone gave him the victory.